Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Today's Father's Day, and like I said, it's not beyond me that today is a day that is celebrated, but also a day that you just wish was any other day. You wish that it wasn't Father's Day. You just want to get through the day. I understand that. But I'm going to use my father in my sermon. Because as a lot of you know, my father is phenomenal. If I'm half the man he is, if I become half the man he is, I'll be a great man. And I pray that I become that. My dad, I've been blessed. Oh, I'm so lucky. And there's not a day that goes by where I don't realize that. I mean, he still takes care of me and doesn't charge me rent for living at home. So, you know, thank him for that, that's for sure. But, see, my dad, what I want to talk about this morning is I hate saying what I'm going to talk about because then I feel like it ruins it and then you're just going to check out. So don't check out on me this morning. But I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about what we're passing on. And there's a scripture I'm going to bring up later, but I'm going to bring it up later. So there is scripture, don't worry. This isn't just me bragging about my dad. But what we're passing on, and I think about the things that my dad is passing on to me. Some good, some great. Climbing on top of a ladder and cutting down a giant branch with a chainsaw. Yeah. In full disclosure, he wasn't supposed to be here this morning. So,
Oh, hi, son.
Hello, man. Did you want some mic time? I know you will. No, but like I said, some good things and some great things, like what I said before. Also, something that, I mean, I'll get into, but someone who's supposed to be on sabbatical yet apparently can't not come to church. Yeah, I'm sure. No, see, one of the things my dad passed on to me is basketball. And now I love basketball. I understood how to love basketball before I understood how to love anything else. I've been playing for as long, I cannot remember a time in my life, like actually have memories without thinking about where I would play basketball. Maybe some vague ones, I don't know. But I can't remember a time where I did not love basketball. I don't know what it is. I could probably write you some flowery poem, but see, I'm a man, so I can't, no offense to anybody in here that writes poems, that's a man. I'm not. Sorry, never mind. I retract that statement. But, see, basketball, it was more than a game. It taught me more than a game. My dad taught me things through basketball, like hard work, sacrifice. He taught me control what you can control. How to respect authority. Don't question them. I remember one of the most proud moments of my basketball career. See, my freshman and sophomore year, I was a good ball player, and then after that, it kind of went downhill. But I remember one of my most proud moments was my sophomore year, and the words that my coach said, because the team at the time, let's just say there was only two of us that knew how to play basketball. The rest, it was their first year, and couple of them actually couldn't run up and down the floor. So that was my team, yet we had a winning record. So it, my coach, he gave me the whatever player award thingy-mabobber because I was pretty much the only one that could dribble. So it's kind of obvious who got that award. But I remember he said these words, and it was before he said my name, and he said, "This is a player that if I asked him to run through a brick wall, he would do it." And I think that's not glorifying me. I'm not trying to say, "Oh, look at me." Yeah. No, that was because that's how my dad taught me how to play. Coach says something, you do it. I disagree with what the coach says, do it. I think there's a better way to do it, do what coach says. He taught me respect for elders and not to question it through basketball. He taught me sacrifice. He always told me that if you don't leave some skin on the court, then you're not playing hard enough. Every loose ball is your ball. Every time the ball is just rolling there, you dive on the ground. I don't care if you're bruised, bloodied, broken. You prefer me not to be broken, but it was, you get the ball. And it was, okay, yeah, your offense was good, but how was your defense? It was defense, man. That was what it was, is defense was everything. And defense, I believe the key to defense is desire. You realize you don't have the ball, and you want it. That's where good defense comes from. And these are things that my dad taught me, but do you realize that goes beyond basketball? Desire, sacrifice, respect, hard work, hustle. It was more than a game. There was games where I'd score 20 points and we'd lose. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm so upset. Coach, what are you doing? Players, why don't you just quit? It'd be better playing 1-on-5, and I would get such a terrible attitude. And I would go home, and I'd be upset, and I'd be up mad. Or before I'd even go home, it was, you know, my mom would hug me out of the locker room and said, "Hey, you're riding with Dad home." The game flashes before your eyes, and then you're like, "Oh, what mistakes did I make? Oh, I didn't dive there when I should have." And then, you know, if my grandpa was around, I'd tell him, "Yeah, I scored 20 points, Grandpa." "Oh, yeah, okay, how many fouls did you have?" If you're not having one foul a quarter, you're not being aggressive enough, according to my grandpa. You got 4 fouls. He said, "They give you 5 for a reason. Use them up." Coming from the guy that didn't like the way a ref called one, and so he pretended he was looking the other way and laid out a ref in basketball, but that's... I never did that. That's my grandpa, though. It's about being aggressive. It was a different kind of basketball. He taught me through basketball to try and try, and I would fail and fail, but never let it stop you from trying again. You shoot, you miss, you shoot again. I think about this past week, this last Sunday, I was out shooting hoops on the new hoops out there, which are phenomenal, by the way. Which, if you are looking for my office, it's now outside in the parking lot by the garage next to the basketball hoops. But I was out there, and my nephew Will was out there with me, and Justin was in Mexico. Welcome back, Justin. Glad you're back. Glad you're safe. By the way, I know it's Father's Day, and you just got back from Mexico, but we're watching the game tonight. But Will was out there with me, and, you know, like a typical boy, if there's a ball, football, basketball, any sort of ball, you just pick it up and you play with it. You don't know why. Literally, I'll walk into a room, and if there's a ball there, I'll just somehow make my way over, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like, where did I get this? And I'm just sitting there messing around with it. I don't know. But Will, I would hand him the ball, and if you don't know Will, you can't see him right now. Let that be a lesson that he's not big, okay? He's not big. He's a pretty strong dude. He always comes up and says, "I'm good fighter. I'm good fighter." Very tribal. I love it. I love it, man. Best story ever. This is a side note. Best story ever. I think it was Libby was just talking away. And just talking away. And Will just, boom! Bops her one. And then Brittany's wondering, what in the world's going on? Why? She wouldn't stop talking. I'm not for beating up women, okay? It's just funny, okay? Relax. I'm not for beating up women. I had three sisters and I got beat up, so. But see, I would hand him the ball and he would take it and he would, you know, his whole body weight into it, and I think he's going to be right-handed. I think, because that's kind of how he was doing it, so. Anyway, but he was throwing it, and I'll tell you what, he wasn't even getting, he's never going to make a shot. I mean, the hoop's at 10 feet, and he's shooting with a men's ball, so, which this is not a men's ball, but this is the only one I could find today. But he'd shoot, and he wouldn't even get halfway, but then I would get it, and I'd say, hey, good job, try again. And he literally wouldn't get mad, wouldn't get sad, he would just all day long, he could just sit there and do that all day long if I would let him. But I was like, you know what, I got to see this ball go in sometime. Give it to me. And so I would shoot. But he would not stop, and that's passing it on. You don't give up. You don't give up. Just because you miss, you try again. That's what my dad passed on to me through basketball. Basketball to me is more than a game, and that's why people don't always understand why I can talk about basketball. I could coach, I could play, I could do anything. I could literally live basketball. My dream when I was younger, which, full disclosure to you guys now, I don't think I ever really told you guys this, but it was a dream I had when we lived in the East Wagner house, was to play for the Lakers and marry a Laker girl. But, forgive me, Father. No, but it was basketball. Everything was basketball. I would go home. I would lay out my homework to not be done. And in case my mom came in, then I'd pretend like I was over there doing it. And then I'd have my Nerf hoop, and then I would put in the movie Glory Road, and I would watch it. I literally, I'm not even kidding you, this is not an exaggeration, I watched that movie 3 times a day. I would watch it from when I woke up to when I went to sleep. And then when I got into bed, I would watch YouTube videos of the great LeBron James. See, I have the mic, so there's no differing opinions. That's what I like to hear. I didn't say the greatest. I said the great. But see, that's what basketball was. It was meaningful. It was more than a game. It taught me so much. It was my life. There are other things that my dad passed down to me, and unfortunately I wasn't able to bring it today, but I have a 20-gauge shotgun. I was going to bring it, not loaded. It's a over-under 20-gauge Stoger break action. I got it from my grandpa after I passed Hunter Safety for my birthday after that. And see, whether you're pro-guns or anti-guns, guess what? I don't care. Because that gun was more than a gun. It was walk through the woods with my grandpa. With the dogs, with no dogs, carrying it under my arm, over my shoulder. Those are the memories I'm always going to have. The lesson of providing. The lesson of providing. Getting up early, sacrificing myself to provide. Now, yeah, we could go to the store and buy some meat and slap it on the table. But there's nothing more primitive and fun for a guy to go out and slay a beast and then cut it up and then there's blood everywhere and then you just slam it on the table. You know, that's what I'm talking about. There's nothing to get, you know, just, ooh, you know. But see, it was more than just shooting an animal and cutting it open and all this stuff. It was providing. Learning that someday, guess what? You're going to do what it takes to provide. You're going to get up early. You're going to do things that you don't like. You're going to do the job. You're going to work hard. And you're going to do everything that you can to provide for your family. Now, sure, hunting was fun and we didn't have to hunt, but it taught me that lesson. It also taught me to be mindful of the people around me. You got to look beyond the shot, right? Those that bird hunt, you know what I'm talking about, or gun hunt in general. You got to look beyond the shot. If there's a house, if there's a person, if there's a dog, if you're bird hunting, you got to look beyond the shot and see what's going on. Because see, if that gun was remotely pointed in the wrong direction, give me that. You ain't holding that no more. That's just, you dumb. You know, they'd take it away. It was, I had to learn to be responsible. Because this, literally with a gun, it is life or death. I mean, it's not going to shoot itself now, but it's dangerous. But it was passed on to me. It was given to me. These lessons that I learned through these different, I guess you could say, traditions. Through basketball, through hunting, through this gun. This gun is more than a gun. I'm never going to get rid of it. I don't care if it ever stops working somehow, in some way. I'm never getting rid of it. Because it stands for more than just hunting and a gun. It reminds me that I got to provide. That there's going to be sacrifice and hard work. Basketball, till the day that my knees break and I can't play anymore. All the cartilage in my knee is gone. Whenever that comes, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to have a ball. I'm still going to think about it. I'm still going to talk about it. Not just because I love it, but because it reminds me of hard work, hustle, a work ethic. It reminds me of these things. And these are the things my dad has passed on to me through other things. But there's one thing, and you could probably guess where I'm going with it. One other thing that my dad passed on to me. It's this, which is not just a book. It's not just the Bible. It's God's Word. He taught me that it's a lifestyle. It's not just some one-time decision and then you go to church once a week or twice a week and then pray before meals. No, it's a lifestyle. And maybe it's because he's been in ministry. Maybe it's because I'm in ministry. I'm going to read you this scripture. It's in 1 Kings chapter 2, and it starts right off in the first one. You can turn there if you want. There's Bibles in the pew rack in front of you. If you do not own a Bible, steal that one. It's yours. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. This is a demonstration. This is a perfect example. You know, I think about on my deathbed, what would I want to say to the people I love, people I care about? Oh, I love you. Sorry for this, sorry for that. Ask for forgiveness, remove all of that, say I love you. But see, no, the words that he passes on is, draw near to God. Stay close to God. He's not concerned about a bunch of other things. He's concerned about his son's soul. Concerned about what God told him and showed him. So the question is, what are we passing on? You know, it's good to pass on basketball. It's good to pass on football, baseball, or I don't really know what women do. Shopping, pedicures, manicures, all that stuff, whatever it is. Not that you can't be into sports. I'm just saying for the girly side of things, I don't know what those things are. Yeah, young bachelors, yeah, we don't know. It's true. I mean, and sorry, if you came to hear a PC sermon, this isn't it. That can go with the complaints about my jacket. But what are we passing on? My dad passing this on to me. I do this in youth all the time. And I haven't even used these. But I do this in youth all the time. And I'm always like, hey, guys, you want to see my notes for today's sermon? Here you go. That's it. That's my notes for this morning. I haven't even used them yet. Why? I don't need notes. Why? Because I learned that it's a lifestyle. I don't need to write down what I live. I don't need to write down my own name. It's who I am. And as Christians, it's who we are. Now, it's good to write things down, and it's good to stay on track, and it's good to take notes. And no, I am not perfect. Amen. I make mistakes all the time. But see, I think of this, and this, y'all are going to think I'm crazy, and this, sorry, I can't think of a better example at the moment. But there's this dude named Lil Wayne. Is Dwayne Carter is his real name. Stage name is Lil Wayne. He's a rapper. And he has this tattoo on his head, and it says, I am music. I am music. Now, early in his career, he would write down all his raps. Now, don't go listen to Lil Wayne, okay? Don't. Just don't do it. Save yourself. But he would write down all his words. And his career wasn't exactly taking off. And then one day he hops up in the studio and he tells the DJ and he says, lay as much track as you possibly can. I'm just going to go through every single one of my songs and I'm gonna say every single word and I'm going to tear these pages out, crumple them up, and throw them away as I do this. That song was later called 10,000 Bars because it was 10,000 bars of music. And he got rid of everything he ever wrote down. And from that moment forward, he never wrote down a song. And his philosophy was, why do I need to write down this song? It's who I am. It's my life. It's my heart. It's my soul. It's who I am. And I say the same for when I preach. Why do I got to write it down? It should be just drawing from my own experience. I don't have to write down what I did yesterday to remember it. I can remember yesterday. It's who we are. And the reason I can live like that, the reason I believe that is because I've watched a man do it for all my life. I've watched him live a life. Now, was he perfect? No. Ladder with a chainsaw. Falling out of a tree and not calling anyone. You know, there's something, what is it, foolishness somewhere? No, I'm just kidding. No, see, he's passed that on to me. And no, he's never said, Brock, you got to do ministry. Brock, you're going to be a pastor. Brock, you're going to do this. In fact, he told me the opposite. He said, be a pharmacist. They got a really good job, and we're always going to need them. But then I realized I had to do calculus, and I was like, no, thank you. You know, I thought I was going to do business. Because I loved people sometimes. Like I said, I'm not perfect, all right? And so I was going to do business. I was going to start my own business, and I was going to be my own boss and work with people and do all this different stuff like that, be an entrepreneur, however you say that word. It's as good as it gets for me. But see, no, then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? No, I gotta do ministry. I'm going to do ministry. You know what? I mean, people ask me, how long have you been doing ministry? And it's been almost 3 years now since I've been doing it here. But really, I mean, I've been watching it my whole life. I've not always been in ministry. I'm not claiming that I've been in full-time ministry all my life. I'm not one of those pastor's kids that says, oh, I've been in ministry since I was a kid. No, I don't believe that because I don't take on the same burden that he does until 3 years ago when I took on the youth, and now I understand. But it was passed on to me on how to handle it. Why I believe in the power of prayer. It's because I can wake up in the middle of the night and need to go get a glass of water and hear my dad in his room on his knees crying and praying at 3 a.m. and he hasn't been to bed yet. He doesn't sleep much. And it's because he's burdened. That's not a bad thing. That's his life's call. But he thinks about you. because He loves you and He cares about you. Every single one of you. He's up at night thinking about you and your needs and what you want and what He's going to speak on that Sunday that's going to benefit you and impact you. It's not like He just has a written down book full of sermons. I mean, well, kind of, but you know, it requires interpretation, but he's asking God, what am I going to share with them that's going to change their life, that's going to impact them, that's going to benefit them, that's going to help them through their time and troubles? And then He meets with people in their office. And this is not, I'm not saying this so that you can be like, oh, well, I'm not going to put my burden on pastor. No, you need to. That's what His job is. He's never complained about that a day in His life. And that's why when a sabbatical turns into not a sabbatical, just, I'm not going to be in the office all the time. Which, it's no big deal. But realize He refuses to go on an actual sabbatical. I don't know if all of you know what a sabbatical is. It's when a pastor takes a break and is like gone. Like Hawaii, Florida, for a long time. But talking to my dad in private conversations in my house, it's, I can't leave these people. I don't want them to think that their pastor just up and left. Because He cares about you. And He's passing this on, and I witness this, and I'm seeing this. He's also passing on the fact that no sleep. Yeah, sleep is a struggle in our house. Except for my mom. She seems to always go to bed at a really good hour. I don't know. Maybe working at Tyson's is the key. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. We wear her out. Yeah, that's actually probably true. We do wear her out. So what's for dinner? No, I'm just kidding. But I think about all the things that my dad's passed on, and this past week we had to do a really tough thing. It was late at night, and I remember I told my dad, I have to come with you. I have to. I need to be there. And I remember as we were driving to the house, and I asked him, I said, what do we do when we get there? And he said, I don't know. I said, 30 years of ministry and you don't know what we're going to do when we get there? I didn't actually say that, but I'm thinking in my mind. And so then I did the only thing I knew what to do. And the only reason why I knew that was what to do is because I've watched him. And so I started to pray. We got there and we went through the night, and the night didn't end favorably. And as we got back in the truck, it's a big difference. Got back in the truck and he says to me, he said, that was a good question you had. But we just show up and we love people. That's what my dad passes down to me. Because that's my job. Sure, you can go to college for 4 years, Ike, and you're going to learn all these things and go through all these classes, but there is no class that's going to tell you how to handle what I went through. Or what those people went through. You just show up and you love people. That's all it is. That's ministry. And see, and at 21, almost 22 years later, and now I look at my dad and I see that. And he tells me that. You just show up and you love people. That's all it is. Regardless of their background. Oh no, I'm about to start preaching. Regardless of their background. Regardless if they come to the church, regardless of what they look like. I remember the other night I was at Rudy's, and there was this, what's a nice way to say this? This older couple that was, did well for themselves. And I remember there was a less than desirable man who walked by who smelled of cigarette smoke. And has a very rough life and things like that. But I know him. So I said, hey, how you doing? And, you know, shook his hand and good to see you and all this. Or I don't know if I shook his hand. He was kind of a little ways away from me. But we said hi. And then I noticed the looks I got from this old couple. And I'm like, how dare you? You don't know what this guy's been through. You don't know his life. And yet you're going to sit there and judge me for saying hi to him. And you think, well, Brock, you're assuming. Well, you didn't see the look on their faces. See, this is something I've learned from my dad, is you show up and you love people regardless. And I think about this past week, and I asked a friend what he learned from his dad. Well, I didn't ask him what he learned, but he told me what he learned from his dad. And he said, my dad, I never had to win his approval. It was unconditional. He loved me no matter what. I didn't have to do something or, you know, win this or do that. It was unconditional. And see, that dad passed that on to his son, who is now going to love his kids the same way. It's the same way my dad teaches me, love people regardless, so I can be out in public in the face of some nice old people and shake the hand of a man who probably isn't the best of company. That's what's been passed down. I can't tell you how many times I've been out to restaurants with people and they complain about the water. They complain about this. They complain about that. The food isn't this. It's a little bit cold. Oh, they brought out the wrong food. I asked for chicken and they gave me beef. And then, and I'm just like, good heavens, I would love to see you dropped off in Africa for a week. Come back here, order it, and see what happens. And if you're still complaining, then I'm just going to smack you. My goodness. But then their kids are around. Get this. And then VBS this last week, as much as it is a treasure, complain about this, complain about that, complain about this. All these little kids. Not all of them. Some of them are just angels. But, you know, then I think, oh, I wonder where they get it from. Kids on a Wednesday show up this Wednesday, skip this next Wednesday. I'll show up a couple Wednesdays. And then I'm like, And then I go to church on a Sunday, and then their parents, oh, they're this Sunday, gone a couple Sundays, come back this Sunday. What are you passing on? What's a priority? And what little things can you teach them a lesson through? And I think about someday when I am a father, hopefully it'll happen someday. Gotta find a woman first. That is not like an offer for you guys to match me with someone. Because it's already been done. I was offered 3 months of eHarmony. I don't want it. I'm doing just fine. I work too much. Okay, I'll use that. I work too much. But no, I think about what I'm going to pass on to my kids. Because see, Williamsons, those of you that don't know us, you're like, okay, what's that mean? For those that know us, you know what it means. It means climbing up ladders with chainsaws. And you laugh. But you know what that says? That means you get the job done no matter what. I'm in sporting events. I'm running cross country. I'm running cross country and realize there's no like boundaries in cross country. You're just running on kind of flag to flag. And I remember at times my dad being right there next to me. What's your last name? You don't catch that guy who's like a mile ahead of me. You know, because Williamson means you can do anything and you're invincible. At least that's what I've learned, right? But it means you're tough and it means you work hard. But I think about what you're passing down. And it's more than just a last name. It's this. Because see, Williamson doesn't mean anything without that. It's like, what did God give us? God the Heavenly Father. Maybe you didn't have a father in your life, or maybe your father's gone, or you never knew him, things like that. Well, guess what? There's a Heavenly Father that's passing things down to you. You want to know what those things are? Here you go. Read about it. Learn about it. Come to church. Go to Bible study. Go to Wednesdays. Pray about it. Call pastor. Well, don't call him. He's on sabbatical. Call me. I'm kidding. He'll say call him. Of course, you know, you got to call pastor. Call him. Figure it out. Ask questions. If you're going to ask questions, then definitely don't call me, because I don't know the answer. I'm still learning. That's a fact. But see, he's passing on grace. God, the Heavenly Father, has passed on grace. He's passed on, I like to call it a last name, Christian. We are Christians, Christ followers. It's like being a Williamson, except I am a Christian. Not only that, like Lil Wayne, you know, remember that? I Am Music. We are Christian. It's a lifestyle. Sure, it's good to write it down and things like that, but it's not like when someone comes up to you and asks you a question, oh, hold on, let me get my logs out from last month. I got to find that place where it talked about that. No, you should know. You're a Christian. It's your life. Christianity is not just a decision and then show up to a building and pay your dues. It's a lifestyle. But before I start preaching on another message, what are we passing on? What are you passing on? If you don't have kids yet, what are you going to pass on? And if you feel like you're never going to have kids, then sign up for VBS next year. We could use the help. But, and if you think about, young or old, I don't care, but if you think about my father never really passed anything on to me, well, guess what? You have a Heavenly Father that's passed this on to you. So I encourage you, come back next week and the week after. Go to the Bible studies. Read this. Spend time with him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.